Can there ever really be too much of a good thing? Well, I guess that depends on what you view as good. Too much of anything is likely not that great, yeah? I mean, I would argue that this does not apply to oxygen, sex, love, and money. Two of those you need to live a great life. And the other two? Well, those just kick the game up a little bit. I'll let you decide your twos. I bring this up, the view of what's good or bad, because I've heard that when you're favored by God, you're also favored by the devil. And it's up to you to know the difference. Like, why can't good decisions be easy? I swear I've made the best decisions possible for my life in the past, but as I tell this story, I realize just how fucking wrong I am. Because as I look back, I was shown signs. I think I blinked when I passed them. Because I swear I didn't see him. My name is Jason Farias, and this is my madness method.
Walk like I do and talk like me too. Nobody gonna rock with you, cause you can't do it like me.
Nah, you can't do it like me.
Let's get this clear. You can walk like I do and talk like me too, but nobody gonna rock with you, cause you can't do it like me.
You can't do it like me.
Let's get this clear. So things are going real good. Real good for me at this point. How good, you ask? Well, let me tell you. I spent that night at the Wynn. I was able to lose all this money and really fucking thought nothing of it, which in hindsight was pretty ridiculous. Things were good over in the Harbor Island side. Hero and I had really kind of formed a bond. Things with Dolly and Shade were okay, in and out, doing our business, keeping things moving. Saya, Hero, and I were kind of like the three that were around together. Saeed kind of was in and out of things a little bit, but sort of dismissed. He was a little too sporadic for our liking. But the one thing that was nice at this time is we had some money, we had a little bit of freedom, but Hero really got me out of my bubble. Okay, and what I mean by a bubble is, I had taken the rules I was given for the way Vegas operates. Don't do a lot outside of your neighborhood. Let certain people take care of certain shit, and that whole business. Hero would get me to go out. There was a ton of shit to do in Vegas besides the strip, and lo and behold, I wind up finding out that Joey and Hero knew each other, not in terms of like a deep relationship. But they knew each other. And I was even telling him one night, like, yo, my boy Joey's over here at the Budget Suites. He was like, get the fuck out of here. Joey. I was like, yeah, And so we headed on over there and we were hanging out with Joey. And Joey introduces me to this dude he's hanging around with that night. His name's KK. I think I heard somebody call him Koi once, but you remember, we're in this cartoon where people don't go by real names. So I just stopped fucking asking questions about names at all. And KK was like the troublesome little brother. Like, he was more loud, he was having fun, he was having a good time. And within minutes of showing up over to the Budget Suites, we were in one of the apartments getting fucking high, and I was getting everybody fucked up. And remember, like, I'm not allowed to sell here. I mean, maybe I could have, I didn't ask, you know what I mean? I was told this is not what you do, but that nobody said you can't run around and get people loaded. So that was kind of my vibe, you know what I mean? I like to get everybody fucked up and have a good time. And so it's me and Ryan and Hero and KK and this dude, Sam, Sammy, whatever. So Sammy was like KK's sidekick. Like, KK would like just talk a grip of shit to this guy, but it was his dude. And I remember one night, the first or second night that we hung out over at the suites with these guys. KK was like, hey man, you want to run to the store with me? I was like, yeah, fuck it, let's go. And he just was like, Sammy, give me your keys. And it was crazy. We get in the car and we start driving. And KK is like, yeah, I don't ever let Sammy fucking drive his own car. It's funny, the fucking guy makes me drive, or I don't let him drive. He's like, I don't even really know. And fucking we're driving, and I'm hearing this knock, like tang, 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 like loud from the engine compartment. And I was like, what the fuck is that? He's like, oh man, I was driving this thing the other day and I hit a curb or some shit. And it broke the front driver strut of the front end of this kid's Lexus. So there's just a strut bar banging into the fucking hood of this car. And I can see, now that he's saying it, I see a little dent in the hood. And I'm like, you're not going to fix that? And he's like, nah, man, fuck that. This ain't my car. I was like, but you fucked it up. And he's like, I know, right? I was like, okay. So that's the kind of cat you are. So we keep rolling. We get beer that night. We get a little fucked up. And again, now there's like this new person. It's almost like I picked him for the team. You know what I mean? Like, okay, KK and I, like he appeals to the part of me that still wants to be fucking rowdy and loud and having a good time and crazy. And he really gave me the opportunity to relax and let go of that piece of me that was like so ingrained in who I thought I was supposed to be as this guy that's dealing drugs in fucking Vegas. You know, I mean, it's not fucking glamorous and it's not fun. Like, you have to ignore the fact of how scary this is to not be overwhelmed by it. And KK gave me that freedom to just fucking cut loose. You know, Hero even was like, hey man, you got to watch out for KK. He's a good dude. Okay, but he gets a little loud. Like, these guys all, these guys all fucking knew each other. You know what I mean? Like, if they acted like they didn't know each other, but yet they all had a little bit of information or something to say about each other. And, you know, I come from a small town where everybody kind of knows everybody. So everybody has something to say about folks, but I'm not in a small town. So while I was used to that behavior, I never considered the fact that how do you guys not act like you know each other, but have all this info. Anyway, it just kind of went over my head about the whole thing. And I would absorb, you know, the info that I was given and take from it what I needed. So one night we are all hanging out. We're at the Budget Suites and KK gets a call and he's like, hey, you guys want to run down the road? I gotta make a drop. And I was like, yeah, let's take a ride. And we head over it for, again, further west down Trop, but again, still on Tropicana. And there was this apartment complex. And today it's Sedona Ridge or something like that. And I'll be honest with you, this ain't a fucking story about real estate. So I don't know if that was the name of it or if it's changed hands since then, but I know what it is today. And we ran over to this apartment complex, Sedona Ridge, and we met up with a couple of KK's friends. But while KK ran into the apartment, because again, this is his gig, this isn't my area, I'm not getting involved, it wasn't even my dope that was involved here. I didn't even really share that, like, I would deal, you know, like, I just had dope and we were getting high. So I stayed out of it. He went in, and while I'm sitting outside, I'm having a smoke, and this dude walks up. Shortly just behind him, this other guy. So now the first guy that walks up is this Hispanic guy. He's probably, I don't know, 6'2", 6'3", and he's got on shorts and a t-shirt, and then he's got on, like, Nike slides, right? But, like, the guy walked super fucking pigeon-toed to where the outside of his slides were, like, flat, and the insides were brand new, right? And he came shuffling up and was like, yo, man, let me get a smoke. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And the guy right behind him, when I tell you that this was the biggest fucking gangster looking black dude I ever seen in my life. And he comes walking up and he just stands there. He's like, yo, can I get one of those? I was like, hell yeah. And they're like, what are you doing here? And I was like, oh, just waiting for my boy KK. And they were like, oh, you know KK. And so they knew this guy, right? And he was like, the Hispanic dude is like, yeah, my name's Killa. And I'm like, okay, what's up, Killa? And then he's like, yeah, this is my boy Duck. And I'm like, Duck. I'll get into why they called him Duck shortly, but let's move on a little bit. So now I've got Killa and Duck standing in front of me, and we're just sitting there bullshitting, having some smokes, having a good time. Now Duck was 6'4", probably 340, like prison muscle looking. Like, all this motherfucker did was bar dips and push-ups, you know, just a fucking mountain of a human. At the same time, the nicest fucking guy, I swear to God, this dude, like, you know, when people walk in the room and you're not facing the door they walk in, but you feel drawn and you turn and you notice this person and they just change the vibe in the room, almost like in a positive way, but also in a kind of a commanding way. But that was Duck, dude. Like he had that vibe. Like I when I met him and I, did dabbed him up. Well, what's up, bro? Like I kind of wanted to hug him at the same time. Like he had that presence about him. And so they're, just asking me, yo, where you from? I was telling them where I stay, and they're like, nah, man, where you from? Nobody's from here. And I was like, oh, I'm from Cali, blah, blah, blah. We might have been two, three cigarettes deep, which, mind you, after the cigarette I gave each of them, they both pulled out their own packs. So they were checking me to see why I was there and to feel the vibe. But we're having some smokes and we're just shooting the shit. KK comes back out and he's like, yo, kill a hoe, kill it. And fucking, so Killa's full street name is Kill a Hoe. And I questioned, I was like, kill a hoe? And he was like, yeah, that's what they call me, so on. And I was like, oh, that's a lot. They're like, yeah, we joke around like I'm Killahoe and this is Huggy Bear. And Duck goes into this like weird elbow swing and shuffle. And he's like, Huggy Bear, the assistant pimp. He's just a big old fucking guy being goofy as shit, right? And took it very lightly. We hung out for like probably 15, 20 more minutes. And KK was like, hey, is it cool if we come back through and hang out? And they were like, yeah, fuck yeah. Of course, bring your boy. He's cool. Fucking let him come through. And, so we got the green light. In theory, we got the green light to be in the area. You know what I mean? Like, these were, I mean, come on, man. Their names were fucking Killahoe and Duck. In conversation later, so his name was Duck Blood. He was gang related, but his name was Duck because if he's near you, you might want to. You don't want this man getting a hold of you. You know what I mean? Like he was a big fucking dude. Like his fists were like bowling balls. Okay. So anyway, that's why Duck. Well, we left that night, with promises that we'll be back. We're all gonna fucking hang out and we go back over to the suites and I'm explaining to Cindy that I met this fucking guy, Killahoe, that I'm assuming I think he's a pimp, but he certainly didn't fucking dress like one. Or maybe it was a joke. And then I started telling her about Duck and like the whole vibe from him. And she's just laughing at me, because I've always been sort of hyper observant about people and their behaviors and the vibe they put off. She just got a laugh out of the fact that I mean, I'm describing them to her almost the same way I'm describing them to you, except then I was high on meth and it was way more fucking animated than what I'm telling right now. We're having a chat and Hero and KK start talking about shit that's been going on. You hear this about this person, you hear this about this person, and then I key in and I hear them mention Shade. And I was like, huh? I was like, what about Shade? And they were like, yeah, there's a lot of word going around that fucking Shade might be snitching. And I'm like, what? Like, how is Shade snitching? Now, in this life, you hear all the time, oh, this person's snitching, that person. Like, I'll be honest, I don't know if my name's ever been thrown out there that anybody would think I'm snitching. Fucking, they'd be sorely fucking mistaken. But the reality is that it seems like everybody gets their turn. Like if you got no other shit to talk about somebody that's in the dope game, that's what the fuck comes up. But I process that for a second because in hindsight, Shade is the one that kind of pushed his way into my life. And while the vibe on him felt all right, like I don't put it above anybody. Anybody could fucking be doing that shit. And they started going into a story about how Shade spends a lot of time in this area of Vegas called Naked City. Naked City is like the shithole of Vegas. Okay. It's the piece of Vegas that unless you're from there and you're involved in some bullshit in Vegas, you'll never even hear about it. Naked City is where you don't go, one, if you're not from there. Okay. And by that, I mean, like, if you're a fucking tourist and you wind up in Naked City, you got a fucking problem on your hands. Okay. If you're from there and you don't belong there, you don't fucking go there. So he was always supposedly dipping out in Naked City and nobody really knew why, but that's where he would say he was. And so now my wheels are turning and I'm like, well, what better place to say that you're going to get people to not either want to go with you or follow you there? You know what I mean? Like, if you want to be left alone, you're going to say you're going somewhere that everybody's going to go, no, I'm good. and that's where he would head. So nobody was checking that. I let their story go on about, I heard this story about him and that story about him, and I like earmarked that story. For one, it was fucking up my buzz and it was fucking up my good time. Okay. But ultimately, it was something like I've explained before. Like I'll take some time later and I'll debrief myself and I'll work through the information I have versus the information I've been given and formulate my own ideas or my own beliefs. So anyway, so now I've got KK and this kid Sammy, and fucking me and Ryan and Hero are doing real good, and now Killahoe is in this thing. There's a legit guys. There's a fucking person in my life called Killahoe. Okay, and then Duck or Huggy Bear, the assistant pimp. Again, that was a joke, but man, I swear to God, if I ever get on TV, I'm gonna do the fucking dance to show you what the fuck I'm talking about, because it was funny. The night or two, whatever it was that we were hanging out at the suites, sort of wraps up, and as it does, you run out of drugs or you just need some sleep or everybody's got something else to do. We head back over to Harbor Island, call it a night. Hero's like, hey man, I'm gonna go, back home, get some rest, call me if you need anything. And I'm like, yeah, no problem, Hero, man. Thanks for everything. I appreciate it. I'll talk to you. I'll see you in a day or so. We go in. I don't know. Fuck. Did we go to bed? God only knows. Another day rolls around. I say another day because I might have slept 24 hours. I might have slept a few hours. I don't fucking know, man. But the next, whatever the next day is that something happened, Saya and I get together, and his sister is at a club that's actually sort of towards UNLV. We get a ride over there. Now, mind you, remember, I don't have a car. I don't know why. I just didn't seem relevant because I didn't really go that far. So, if I needed a car, like I'd said before, like I would give somebody a bag of dope and use their car. But anyways, we get a ride over to this club that's by UNLV to go see Saya's sister. And we get over there, his sister comes out, he introduces me, and we're shooting the shit a little bit. And he's like, hey man, you got anything we could hook up with? Fuck yeah, bro, I got you, dude. Your family's my family. No problem, dude. And I fucking hooked it up with a fat bag. I remember having a few bags in my pocket and pulling the wrong one out. And I didn't want to be like a dick. You know what I mean? It's like when you're getting ready to hand somebody like, hey man, you got some change? And you pull out a five and you're like, oh, that ain't for you. Here's a one. Like I wasn't gonna be that guy. So I let the bag go, and we're just sort of sitting outside, and you could hear the music. There was like an outside area to this club, and we were outside of the facility itself, but the music's still going, and there's people all in the street, and it was a good time. So we're just chilling for a while. But what I didn't notice is my phone was blowing up. And once I saw it, I was like, oh shit, I got to take this. It's Cindy. And it was like repeated calls, and she doesn't really do that. But I was like, Sia, it's Cindy. I got to take this. It's fucking loud. And he's like, yeah, let's walk. And so he said later to his sister. His sister went back in the club, and we start walking back up towards the front of the UNLV proper, where the big sign would be, you're welcome to UNLV and all that shit. And as we're walking, I get Cindy on the phone, and you hear that she's scared. And she sounded like she was crying a little bit. And she's like, you need to get home. You need to get home now. And I was like, what's going on? And I hear this bow, bow, this loud banging, and she's like, Saeed's here, and he's freaking out, and he's trying to kick open the door. And now remember, I had said that Saeed was sort of pushed to the side because we couldn't really feel his vibe. Well, this dude was on a dope fiend on a different level. Like this guy was spazzing out, and I'm not sure whether or not he was there to rob me or he was just high trying to get more dope. I don't really know what the situation is. I panicked and I was like, oh fuck, what do I do? Like I'm on foot and I'm at UNLV and I don't live that close to it. Like I didn't know what the fuck to do at this point. The first thing I could think of to do is I called Hero. Hero's got a car, call Hero. And I boom, he picks up. I was like, Hero, dude, this guy, the fucking guy, Saeed, the fucking, I mean, that's how I met Hero, so he knew what the fuck, like, we've talked about this dude and that he's fucking sketchy. I don't mean to split the story up on you, but Saeed was the reason that Cindy and I started getting black lights. So we had caught wind that there was a bunch of counterfeit bills going around. And so Cindy and I got a 3 foot black light, and we would hold up all of our $100 bills to this black, any bills, honestly, because we knew to look for the stripes in it. And we knew that what certain things to look for in bills that were only in real US currency, like fake bills didn't have this, at least not in that time. I'm sure that shit's improved, but it was mentioned to me by Hero that he either got fake money passed to him by Saeed, or Saeed told him about it. I don't really know, but this put us on alert about fake bills that were going around. And, I mean, just to kind of talk about how great things were, that 1 3-foot bar wasn't good enough. We actually wound up getting 3 3-foot bars and a piece of plexiglass that we laid over them, and we would spread the money out on this fucking plexiglass makeshift table and sift through all the money to make sure it was legit. So, again, just to reconfirm how good things are going, I need a 3x3 table that with a black lights underneath to make sure all my money is legit. It was a good time. But anyway, back to the point here. So we know Saeed's fucking shady. We know he's up to some shit. And now he's banging on my door and he's scaring the shit out of my girl. And we don't know why he's there. Is he there for me? Is he there for her? Is he there for my money, my drugs? What the fuck is this guy doing? But I mean, he's banging loud enough that I hear it on the door. And so I call Hero, and Hero tells me, just like this, where you at? And I said, I'm right by the front of UNLV. He said, get by the sign, don't fucking move, we'll be right there. And I was like, and I just was like, okay. And I hung up and I was like, we. And I called Cindy. I said, Hero's on his way, I'll be there as soon as I can. Is he still there? She's like, yeah, now he's banging on the wall in the breezeway. Remember, when you walk out of my apartment, you make a right and a right, like an immediate U-turn style. There's a breezeway that goes to the parking lot. Well, now he's in that banging on the wall. And he's got my girl freaked out, dude. So this is the trigger for me, like fucking with me, fucking with my money, my drugs. Those are a me thing. You fuck with my girl, bro, bro, we got a problem. But in this problem, I didn't know what resolution was coming down. And it felt like I was sitting there for what was like an hour, but it wasn't. Saya and I are standing by the front entrance to UNLV, and this cream-colored 4Runner comes pulling up, and the back passenger side window rolls down, and he was like, Jason. I go, what's up? And this Asian dude jumps out of the passenger seat, and I'll be honest with you, I got scared. I was like, oh shit, what the fuck's going on here? And they point at Saya and they go, go. And they tell him, get, like, and they put me in the middle seat in the back seat of this 4Runner. And I get in the car and I sit down as they're, it's kind of like one motion. They're putting me in the car and they're telling Saya to go. And I'm like, oh shit, like what? I'm alone now. Saya's not with me. And each guy to my right and left has a fully automatic weapon in their lap. And I was like, oh shit, did I just get fucking kidnapped? Like a dumbass? I just got in the fucking car. They don't say a fucking word. Not my name is, not we're taking you, not nothing. They don't say a fucking word. It's dead silent. No radio, no windows down, fucking nothing. But they drive me back to Harbor Island and they take a lap around the side I don't live. So when you pull into Harbor Island, you go left or right, like almost immediately. There's like a culvert, like runoff water thing that there's like a bridge over, and then you're on the property proper, so we took a right and they took a lap real slow through the parking lot and then over to the left side, which is the way you would go to get to my apartment. And they take another slow lap and they park next to what I recognized was Hero's car. And I was like, oh, fucking, like I'm like ready to go, you know what I mean? And the guy that let me in the car tells me, don't move. And he gets out with the guy in the front passenger seat with their guns, and they walk towards the breezeway that goes to my apartment. Now, what I'm noticing at this time, Harbor Island is a very active area, and there's nobody out. There's nobody. There's not a single person in the parking lot, no cars around. It was just bizarre. That's not usual behavior for the area. They come back, they're with Hero, and Hero's got a gun. The two guys that got out got guns. The guy in the passenger seat sitting next to me gets out and comes around, and the four of them make a box around me, and they walk me into my apartment. All of them armed, they walk me in. One of them had his hand on my back, and they walked me into my apartment. Cindy's freaking out. I guess between the time that I was picked up and arrived, Hero had gotten there, and I was never told the story of what happened with Saeed. I don't know if the guy was gone when they got there. I don't know if the guy was removed. But what I know is that Hero showed up with three other guys. Four were sent to pick me up. And Hero calmed Cindy down once he got there. He said, "Hey, I'm here. It's a Hero. Let me in." And he reassured her everything was okay. And then they escorted me into the apartment. But these guys had cleared the area before I got there. They made people go back. I mean, I had heard stories after the fact, like, yeah, we were outside and we were forced into our apartments by some guys with guns. And I was like, holy fuck. These guys cleared the scene for me to protect my girl. And I was not observing how heavy of a situation this was. I was just glad she was safe and that I was safe. And it wasn't until much, much later that I replayed that whole scenario. And you know what? Honestly, it was later when Saya and I hooked back up a day later, and he was like, "Bro, what the fuck was that?" And I was like, actually, I take that back. He was like, "Yo, Dunny, what the fuck?" You know, his fucking New York accent. That's how he hit the whole thing up. It was funny. But it was in explaining to him what I experienced. He was like, "Fool, you got it like that?" And I was like, "I have no idea. I have no idea what the fuck that was. I have no idea why that happened. I made one phone call and that's everything that came from it." And he was like, "Bro, like that must be nice." And I was like, "Is it? Is it nice? Is it nice to make a call and get parking lots and fucking whole apartment complexes swept by armed people? Like, yeah, that sounds cool for a fucking movie. Who the fuck am I? Like, why are people doing this?" You know what I mean? Like, it never dawned on me that it wasn't normal to have a 3x3 plexiglass table to check your $100 bills for counterfeits. It never dawned on me that having that many $100 bills to check was fucking abnormal. That's how it was supposed to be, right? Like you get into selling drugs to do what? Be just okay at it? Like, nah, success is the only option. I'm like, oh fuck, like these stories I've heard about Hero, oh my God, they might be real. You know, like this is the kind of shit you see in fucking movies, dude. And to this day, I never again saw Saeed. I never saw his yellow Mazda. This dude was not only not there when I got there, but his car wasn't there either. So again, like I say, did he leave on his own and the guys just clear the area? Or did they remove him? And if they removed him, what'd they do with his car? Like, who the fuck am I to have this kind of clout? And ooh, you want to talk about a moment of reflection. It took Saya pointing out to me that that was some deep shit that he's never fucking seen before. And I was like, me either. Me either. But now I got problem solvers. I got real fucking problem solvers. And they're probably like, that's not anything I ever wanted to sign up for. That's nothing you expect. That's some television movie shit. It definitely caused some moments of reflection. You know, and having fucking Sia over there in his New York accent, "Yo, son, fucking whoop, whoop, whoop," like fucking hyping me up. You know, at the time, I was like, yeah, that's right, motherfucker. But that was Hefe or Jay at the front, because Jason was in there maybe like, hey, this is scary and not right. You want to talk about conflicting personalities. It was nice, though, I have to admit, for my girl to need protection when she was scared. But this moment changed my fear of death. It changed my fear of life. You know, maybe in a negative way, because I probably should have said, all right, bro, that's crazy. You should get out of here. And instead I was like, man, I'm not scared to live or die because I can make a phone call and clear an apartment complex. That is a strange power to have, especially when you didn't ask for it or want it. I'm gonna wrap this one up here. Thank God for Hero, because I don't know what that motherfucker was there to do, but I tell you, he never found out. He never figured it out on his own. He may not even known, Saeed may have never even known why the fuck he showed up that night. But I can tell you, the results were probably other than what he expected. I want to thank you for listening. If you want to reach out, I'd love to hear from you. MyMadnessMethod819 at Gmail, MyMadnessMethod on Instagram, my website, 819 Product. These are getting fun, man. Vegas is a crazy place. Thank you for listening. My name is Jason Farias, and this is my Madness Method. I guess the neighbors think I'm selling dope. Selling dope. Neighbors think I'm selling dope.